Amen. Thank you, girls. Please grab your Bible and stand together and turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. If we can all stand. And then ushers, we have something we're going to pass out real fast. Do you guys have that ready? Do you have that? Okay. Thank you, Hannah. This is, now today, really, and more so tonight, we call this Ministry Involvement Sunday. And we have up here four steps of spiritual growth. Step one is loving God, salvation and baptism, spiritual growth, loving others, getting a Sunday school class and join the church. And then next step is Jesus wants his people to be disciples. So we have discipleship and stewardship. And then step four is being involved in ministry and soul winning. And tonight we will have a you can call it a ministry fair. You ever been to a job fair? How many have ever been to a job fair? You go and you check out this job. And I think when I was in high school, they sort of introduced us to that. And so tonight after church, we're going to have, yeah, everybody gets one of those. After church, we're going to have a bunch of tables out, and you're going to have an opportunity to inquire. Okay, you're not necessarily going to join a ministry at that time, but to inquire about being involved in ministry. And so everybody, if you're one of God's people, he wants you to be involved in ministry. And so here's, now you're going to like give this to you, and what I want you to do now is to put it in your Bible. Hide it so you listen to me when I read the Bible. Okay, why don't you put it away? Go ahead and put it away. Raul on the front row, you set the standard. Oh, you gave the wrong one. Hey, guys, you gave the wrong one. All the ushers are fired. Okay, ushers. Okay, if you need to be in the hard of hearing or the deaf section, right over there. And the ladies or whoever's interpreting, they can do that. This is ministry involvement one, all right? That's okay. These guys don't get paid well. You know, you get what you pay for. All right. Go ahead, Hannah. Pass it out. And maybe it's because Hannah wasn't playing. All right. The other one, you guys, you can keep the other one for free. Everybody get the second one, ministry opportunities. Everybody get one of those? Everybody got one? Who didn't get the second one? Up right here. You didn't right here? Right here. Usher, put your hand up way high if you didn't get the second one. Okay? Now put that one away. Okay? Now, on Sunday morning, what we have, Brother Myers, we have some Sunday morning Christians. God loves you. We love you. I love you. But we want to invite you to be a Sunday night Christian tonight. Come tonight and check out the different ministries. You say, I'm just new in church. Here's the thing. Unless you grew up in church, we were all new at one time. Okay? Brother Myers didn't grow up in church, so he was new. Brother Kyle Beck didn't grow up in church. Brother Pineda didn't grow up in church. Charlie sort of, he started when he was seventh grade. Doesn't act like it, but when did you start going to church? Sixth grade. Okay, so he grew up in church. I didn't grow up in church. Okay, so don't think, well, that's not for me. If you're a Christian, God wants you involved in ministry. Come tonight. Just check it out. By the way, there's going to be some food out there and some snacks. We'll just have, just check it out. And who knows, tonight could be a real turning point in your life. Say, why? Well, because maybe just like I preached a sermon last Sunday night on vision. Maybe God tonight might bring you by one of these tables and say, wow, I can do that. Okay? We have an addictions ministry, okay? An addictions to help people that are addicted to get saved and come out of the bondage of their addiction. And maybe you've had that background, okay? And two things could happen. Maybe one is you could build walls of truth so that you'll never be involved with that again. And then number two, maybe you can be a servant in that ministry. Every Friday night, you say, why do you guys have that ministry every Friday night? You take a guess. Okay, yeah, there you go. Here we go, Ephesians chapter number 4. And this is Ministry Involvement Sunday, or you can call this Four Steps Sunday. And we show you up, thank you, Hannah, ministry. God wants all of us to serve. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verse number 1. Okay? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, well, he didn't say he was a prisoner of the state, he's a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you called. And I taught and preached on that a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, on now what God, all that God has done for us, let's walk worthy of what he's called us to. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. And that would, I remember Bible doctrines, like where do they go and where are they now and all that. We're not going to talk about that now. But he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now look at verse 12. And he gave some apostles. Now, let me just say this, and this is maybe for someone that's thinking about this. We do not believe that the Bible says there's apostles for today. Okay, we have one of our men that used to go to a church. He said, yeah, these guys said they were apostles. No more apostles, okay? Apostles are in heaven. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and there's none of those Old Testament prophets anymore either. But we have three other gifts here. And some evangelists, we have evangelists, and some pastors, we have a few of those, and teachers. Now, so let's just say for sake of the scriptures and the sake of this message, he gave evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? So we can get up here and yell three times a week and have an invitation, and hopefully people get saved and get right with the Lord. Well, that's a little part of it. But why did he give us the church teachers and pastors and evangelists? Verse 12, for, talking about verse 11, the perfecting of the saints. Now, so, Chanty, come on up here. So what we're going to sit down in a minute. Come on up here real fast. So the Bible says that one of the reasons pastor, we'll call Brother Pineda a teacher, and we'll call Brother Kyle an evangelist. One of the reasons he gave us to the church is to help perfect the saints or mature the saints or equip the saints. Everyone who's a Christian is a saint. Okay, a saint's not the guy you put on your front of your dashboard and put little things around it so that you don't get in a car accident. Because a lot of people have put those on their front dashboard and gotten a car accident. Okay, a saint is a Christian. God has given pastors, evangelists, and teachers to perfect the saints, to help guys like this, girls, young men, older men, to equip them. You can be seated. Now let's finish here. So to perfect them, to help them, to take them from where they are, to grow for the perfect, look at verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work, can everybody say work?
Work,
work of the ministry. So here's the deal. What is one of our jobs? To help you to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Please get this. These guys up here, we're not the hired guns to do the work of God. We're just like one of you. We're all in this together. But one of our responsibilities is to help Raul and help John. We got a new man, Jose, in the front row, to help you to do the work of the ministry. You like me? Yes. You, okay? By the way, there was a day when Brother Myers was not doing the work of the ministry. There was a day when Brother Myers was driving his moped down the hallways of Jordan High School. Not the sidewalk, the hallways. He probably wasn't doing the work of the ministry back then, right? You were late to class. Okay. I won't snitch on Brother Kyle and Brother Pineda up here, okay? for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the encouraging of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Father, help us in the short time that we have to understand, and we'll continue tonight, about helping the church, this is your church, to do the work of the ministry. Help us to make it as practical as possible, Lord, so that the brand new Christian can understand it, and then as challenging as possible for maybe some of us that have been Christians for decades. And might your Holy Spirit and your word have free course in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to show you a verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And look at a family, one of the first families, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse, why don't you look at verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 10. Of course, the apostle Paul had to do a lot of correcting in the church of Corinth. But look what he says about a family. And by the way, Brother Angel was here last Thursday night, and I went to dinner with him, and I said, Brother Angel, and he's older than me, he's been in the ministry longer, but I said, you know, I want to say this. I said, your name is good, and your family name is good. You don't have to be a missionary to have a good family name, but he has a missionary son, and I think three or four of his adult children are in ministry. I said, you have a good name. And so, you know, when we say Kyle Beck or Steve Myers or Charlie Chim or Ray Bichardo, we think of something. We think of something, okay? And this one family, we're going to see how Paul identified them. Okay, when we think of Brother Albert, we think of a baseball team. He has 9 children. Co-ed softball team. Okay, so he'll one of these days, all of his family's going to be in the softball league, and he's going to be the coach, and he'll be playing against the other teams. But let's look at verse 10. Now, if Timotheus, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 16, come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord. By the way, I like that. You know, he talks about Timothy. He works for the Lord. Okay? He worketh the work of... By the way, Paul constantly addresses the people. He laboreth with me. He's profitable for the ministry. And they're not all full-time Christian workers. They're not all pastors. Timothy was. He worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Look at verse 11. Let no man therefore despise him. Don't give him a hard time, you guys. But conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity. Now, look at verse 15. This is a family that Paul addresses. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits, people that were saved first, of Achaia. Now look at this. And that they have addicted, we have addicts in 1 Corinthians here. They have addicted themselves to the what class? Ministry. Wow. How are they addressed? Wow, here comes the addicted people. This addicted family. What were they addicted to? They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Verse 16. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I already mentioned this, but it is the pastors and teachers and evangelists' responsibility to help, okay, to help perfect or mature or equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Help people to get involved in ministry. I remember Brother Fisher was here once, and we had our staff meeting right here. And he preached on Thursday night, stay overnight, and then sometimes I'll have a senior pastor that comes from out of town. He's been in ministry a long time. I'll have him spend with our staff. He was teaching our staff, and he pointed at that door, and he said, though he didn't know that was not the main door where people come in, that's the main door, looks like the main door, but he said, right there, that door, he said, every person that comes in that door has a burden. And he said, what your church needs is more burden bearers. And he went on to explain the importance of burden bearers. And he said something like this, preacher and you guys, you can't do it all yourself. By the way, some say that a pastor can effectively pastor 75 people. You say, why? People have burdens. And you say, what do you need? You need more burden bearers. And so we see here that God's plan is for all of us to grow so that we can all do the work of the ministry. Being involved with ministry has many benefits, and we can go on this. We don't have the time this morning. We'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. One thing is we're just obeying the Lord. And as a Christian, I would be involved in ministry for no other reason because God's saying, hey, that's what we're supposed to do. Let's do what God asks us to do. Obedience precedes blessing also. Also, we are edifying God's people. We saw that in verse 12. We're encouraging each other. So getting involved in a ministry, whether it's a nursery ministry, it's a children's ministry, it's a Sunday school ministry, it's a bus ministry, it's an addicted ministry, it's a greeter's ministry, it's an usher's ministry, it's a PA ministry. I said, PA, who told me this? Someone told me this. PA people try to control the service. There's someone coming up there they don't like that's going to sing. They're like, I'm turning the PA down. They say if they're a gloomy person, they're constantly turning it down. They're an upbeat person, they're constantly, let's just keep it the way God wants it back there, amen? Then someone once said, every PA man that I ever met backslid. Sorry, guys. That's not inspired. That's just an opinion. So, guys, stay with it. But we're to edify God's people. And so one of the blessings of being involved in ministry is we're obeying the Lord. We have the opportunity to bless others, to encourage or edify. And another one that I'll take a couple minutes discussing, we saw there in 1 Corinthians 16, 16, I beseech you to know, Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, the house of Stephanus. You say, what's the house? Not the house, the family. No, we don't know all the details about their family, but please get this. Serving in the ministry with your family is huge. Many, many blessings. Brother Ray Pichardo is just a good Christian. He has a good marriage. But he has this a really good family. Okay? Isn't that what we all want, a good family? It's not, let me say this, it's not the norm. Okay? I was talking to a man that's considering moving out here from another state just to possibly get involved with church planting. We're discussing just man, if you have a good marriage and got a couple good kids, jump up and down and say praise God, because there's so much junk and there's so much opposition to a strong family. But Brother Ray used to live how many miles away did you used to live when you were in the San Fernando Valley? 49 miles away, and he drove here every Sunday morning. I think he drove here Sunday nights, and then afterwards he started staying at his brother's house because his brother lived around here, you know, hanging out so he can come to Sunday night church. Then he'd go back. Then he'd come here on Thursday nights, okay? And by the way, his wife and his the children, they watch that. They're like, what in the world are we doing this for? This traffic is not fun, right? And then, and by the way, Brother Ray, at first, you were let's have a little personal conversation. You weren't, like, when you first started coming to our church, you weren't like a real good Christian, were you?
Backslidden. Say it again. Backslidden.
Backslidden. I wanted to say it, but I wanted him to say it. You say, what happened? The word of God was preached, and God did something to his heart. Okay? He began to grow. And then he began to get involved in ministry. Little by little. We don't let backslidden people become the Filipino pastors. We try not to. And so he began to grow. But here's the thing. You know what he did? He got his whole family involved in the ministry. Of course, now his brother was our Filipino pastor. He now started a church in Daly City. And now he's in a phenomenal family. You say, Pastor, where do you get all your quirky ideas, your standards for the family? You just like have like a spiritual hat and you pull rabbits out and like, here's a dumb idea. Don't start dating until you're ready to get married and you're walking with God and you got a few bucks in your pocket and you've gone through the screening process. Where'd that stupid stuff come from? What I've done is I've found some of the best families in the world. I don't know all of them that love God. Now, first and foremost is we get the Bible. But then I've found some of the best families in the world, literally in the world, and I've put the microscope on them and said, what are these people doing? And then I've tried to implement it into my family, and I throw it out at the church. Okay, because we know what God says. We don't know everything that God says, but we study and we read and we teach and we preach. But then there's standards. There's certain standards. You say, what's a standard? It's sort of a personal preference to help you to obey God's words, which are convictions. But so what I've done is when someone has a really good family, if somebody I know, I just... sorry to bother you, but you're here preaching in our church, but we're done with our hamburger. Can I ask you a couple questions? Sure. Dr. Colling's a scientist, okay? Just the word scientist makes me a little nervous. He's a scientist. He was teaching at the University of Tennessee, has a PhD and whatever. And anyway, I won't tell you the whole story. I've told it before. But he left a very beautiful, lived in the Smoky Mountains and had his dream home and custom built his dream home. And he said, man, he was a deacon in a church. And he said, I feel so empty. And then come to find out it's because he was not serving in the ministry, even though he was a deacon in the church. But anyway, he ended up teaching the Bible college. But he's come, and he hadn't been here for a while, but he's preaching our church. And one day I said, Dr. Colling, I know his children. I said, tell me what is it that's really made a difference in your children? And of course, we always say we obey the Bible and, you know, all that stuff. But one thing I'll never forget, he said, Brother Esposito, here's the deal. We serve the Lord with our children and our family in the church. Amen. With them. He said this, and by the way, I've taken on his standard. He said, I never go anywhere or do anything or travel unless at least one of my family members is with me. And I've made that principle. The church got me raised $1,700 to let me go fishing with one of the preachers. And by the way, if you do it, I'm not a better Christian than you. That's just my own personal standard. And I said, nope. I said, I'll take the $1,700, amen. But let me take my family fishing, because all good Christians fish. Dr. Colling, I think he's still to this day, he has a bus route. He's a bus captain. All of his children and his wife, they served in the bus ministry. If there's, and up to probably just a couple years ago, I know he did it, but he's probably still did, probably 40 years. I remember the Oriental ministry. He was over the children when I was in college, the Oriental ministry, and I remember him, all of his children, one of them was a piano player. The other ones were, you know, keeping all the kids behaving themselves. But they all came in together. They served the Lord in the ministry. Maybe that's why his son's out there. He started a church at Apache something, Arizona. And his children, another son's working in the ministry. And they're not all working in the ministry, but they're all serving the Lord. Say, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. Number four up there, serving others and in the ministry. One of the benefits is when you serve in the ministry, it's great for your family. Great for your family. And then not serving in the ministry also has some consequences. I want to show you something. I'm going to just tell you this right up front. I'm not sure about this. But it seems as though there's a little maybe discrepancy, and maybe you know something that I don't know, that when Paul addressed Demas or talked about Demas, the thing I like about Paul, I see Brother West, Brother West always has some men with him. There's always some men with him, okay? Just serving God with some men. Paul always addressed, when he's talking, when he's addressing a letter, there's always some men, you know, brother so-and-so greets you and so-and-so greets you. The man Demas, Paul mentions three times in three different letters. I did a little research, and maybe I didn't do the best, but I did some, and it seems as though that Philemon and Colossians were written close to being the same time. But I want you to do this. Look over to Philemon. I'm going to show you something. Philemon. Go to Hebrews and make a left. Say, where's Philemon? It's a one chapter book. So find the Hebrews and make a left. And it's the first left. Okay? Look at Philemon, verse 24. If you study Paul's writings, Paul was just constantly working for God. And the men that was with him, they were just saying, listen, this is what Jesus wants us to do. Let's go. Okay? And he's constantly addressing these men, that, talking about different circumstances and so forth. But let's look at Philemon. Let's look at verse 22. But withal preparing me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Need a place to stay. There salute, verse 23, the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas, my fellow laborers. Now, look here just a moment. He's addressing these men as, including Demas, as a fellow laborer. A fellow what class? Now, let me get this. Before we look at this next portion of Scripture, often what we don't say speaks louder than what we do say. Brother Pineda is a great guy. Brother Kyle is just a godly man. This is Steve Myers. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? He's just trying to be a good Christian without saying, this guy is bad. Okay, let's look over to Colossians chapter 3, okay? Colossians chapter 3. Is that your phone? Sounds like your phone. Sometimes the staff, when I say something like that, they have a way to disturb the service. Colossians chapter 4. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Now here again, here's Paul. All these people he talks about. Well, he talks about ladies and men. Look at verse 7. Colossians 4, verse number 7. I like hearing the pages turn and new Christians trying to find them. When my assistant pastors can't find Genesis, that's what makes me nervous. Verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who's a beloved brother. Okay, there it is, you know, beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. See, he's saying these guys, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, or Jesus, which is called Justice. This is not Jesus of Nazareth. This is just one of the guys named Jesus, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers. Man, he's saying, these are fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, calls him a servant of Christ, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Man, this guy's a prayer warrior. That you should stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. All these nice things he's saying about all these guys. And them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician. And then look at this. And Demas. See, what is he? Nothing. Fellow laborer, fellow prisoner, fellow this. Nothing. And Demas, greet you. Probably Demas said, hey, can you include me in that letter? Tell him I said hi. But we're not sure, but it seems like it may be, and here again, we're not sure, maybe Demas quit his bus route. Maybe Demas just quit laboring. Maybe. This is very much implied. It doesn't say it. But now let's look at where most of us know the best are the verses that we know more about Demas than anything else. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. It seems like he was addressed as a laborer, and then possibly he was addressed as just Demas, and then now let's see what he's addressed as. 2 Timothy chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 9. Right, chapter 4. Verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now look at this. For Demas hath forsaken me. Now look up here just a minute. There's Demas again. He was a fellow laborer. Then he was just as, hey, he greets you. You say, now what? He forsook Paul. By the way, my guess is if he forsook Paul, he probably forsook the Lord. Look on. For Demas hath forsaken me. Then Paul goes, all right, let me tell you the truth. Having loved this present world. Now look up here just a moment. There are consequences of not serving the Lord, not being involved in ministry. By the way, one consequence, and it's unfortunate, but if you've been in the ministry for a while, one consequence is this. When you're not serving in a church, you have a tendency to be critical. Look, when you're serving in the church, it's easy to overlook all of our faults. By the way, we're not supposed to be fault finders, right? Okay, we're supposed to lift up the fallen, okay? You that are strong, support the weak, right? But when you're not doing much, you sort of sit around and go, where's the maintenance guy? We're missing a light bulb right there. And I noticed Brother Myers speeding on Magnolia. And why didn't Brother Kyle get to that verse in Philemon before I did? You see, what happens is, it's like you're a bencher on the team. You're not playing. You're like, man, I ain't involved with it. You start picking at the coach. Okay? You ever see a bencher sometimes? But if you're a bencher on a team, more power to you. Jesus loves you. You ever see a bencher and they call a timeout and all the team comes together and the coach is like, we got to do this, and that. And the benchers, he's on the bench. You got to get up in the team meeting. He's like this. You ever see that? It's like, grab that guy. Get up there. You're a part of the team. I've told a story before. Larry Broad tells, he said, this is how it is when people aren't serving in the church. He said, it's like my old coon dogs. He said, I'd have a truck, and he said, I'd get my coon dogs in the back of my truck. And he said, my coon dogs were in the back of the truck, and as we're going coon hunting, he says, you can hear it the whole way. All you hear is this. The whole way. They're fighting the whole way because they got nothing else to do. He says, as soon as we get out, and I don't know, you coon people, I don't know if you use whistles or go get a boy or get him to smell. I don't know what you do. I'm not a coon hunter. But as soon as they get to the coon hunting place, they start licking each other. They start high-fiving each other's paws. And they go coon hunting. They tree a coon. You say, what's treeing a coon? I have no idea. I've just heard about it. My guess is they chase the coon up the tree, and then the guy shoots it or something. I don't know if the dogs climb the tree, whatever. And the dogs are happy, and they lick each other. We got a coon. Oh. No more hunting. They get back in the truck and start fighting each other. You know, that's how churches are sometimes. People that either have never been in the ministry or they got in the ministry and for whatever reason they got out, those are usually the ones that are bickering. People that are in the foxholes for Jesus, guess what? We're trying to help each other. We're working together. Amen? By the way, be careful because sometimes those that are in the back of the truck and you're serving, they'll bite you and give you their rabies. Oh, what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. They ought to be serving the ministry. We're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. We're trying to get out there and get as many people saved as possible. We're trying to help wounded soldiers. We're trying to bring back the fallen. We're trying to get the prodigal. And listen, we're doing the best we can. We don't need to bicker at each other. Amen. Not being involved in ministry sometimes disrupts our spiritual ecosystem, if you would. It seems like, and again, I'm not sure, and I don't want to be real dogmatic about it because it's not real clear in the scripture. It seems like that's what happened to Demas. And I've seen in experience, what? He was serving the Lord and then possibly quit laboring for a while. And then it's like his spiritual, you say, what's ecosystem? I'm not sure, but if this is not the best way to explain it, you can explain it next time. We fish at Colorado River. Last time I fished at Colorado, every time I go to Colorado River, we catch striped bass like a lot. They're fighters. They fight like those coon dogs, man. Last time I went, it was like, what happened to the striped bass? And someone explained, they said the ecosystem has been affected. Somehow the chad, is the chad a little fish? Somehow the chad disappeared. And it caused the striped bass to disappear. And so all the fisher people are disappearing. It just disrupted things. Please get this. If you're serving the Lord and you're involved in ministry, let me say this. Don't mess up a winning batting order. See what I mean? It just may be, of course, our walk with God and staying in the scriptures and loving God. And about a month ago, I preached about that. Our serving the Lord should be a byproduct of it, just be gratitude and love for God. But sometimes, and don't, sometimes all of a sudden you have a new father and he's it just gets things cattywampus. And he's like, man, I gotta stop serving the Lord. And by the way, there's times to sort of pull back a little bit. I understand that. But serving the Lord and being involved in ministry in a local church, it's good for your spiritual life. I've watched it for years. By the way, once you've pastored one church for 24 years, you almost become an expert at stuff. You say, oh, you're smart. I'm not smart. I've watched so many times. I'm like, I know where that one's heading. I know where that one's heading. By the way, you don't have to be a pastor. If you're in a church for a while, you're like, all right, I already know where that's heading. Life is fragile. I'll close with a story. I've shared this story in church before, but I'll close with a story. Years ago, actually, this story, Dr. Hiles told this story in a sermon. He said there was a family in his church. Actually, was he a chiropractor? Doctor, some type of doctor. And they loved the church, got involved in ministry. He became a Sunday school teacher, and I think it was their first baby. I think they got sometimes you're like, man, we can't have babies, and then you turn 40, and all of a sudden, 1, 2, 3, you know. But I think they had a baby a little later, and then he started traveling with his work, and he stopped being a Sunday school teacher. And then once you stop being a Sunday school teacher, by the way, when you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a bus captain, it's like, man, I need to be here. You say, why? For Jesus, of course. Why else? Because if I'm not here, the people are going to say, hey, why weren't you here? You've always told us to come to church every Sunday. So, well, that's not very spiritual. I know it's not, but it sure helps. Once you start working in the ministry. And so the guy started, he came, he said, you know, I'm traveling, I'm not here all the time, and I need to give up my Sunday school class. The pastor said, I don't think it's a good idea. You know, just maybe not a good idea. So he did, but he did. Then, you know, he'd go 4 weeks and miss one, and 4 weeks and miss one, and then he'd go 3 weeks and miss one. And then pretty soon, by the way, we're creatures of habit. That's amazing. I know some people, they Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, every service, and then all of a sudden, a season of life, they miss a few, and then now it's they're sporadic in their church attendance. Sporadic in their ministry. My guess is, I don't know, they're probably sporadic in their walk with the Lord. But anyway, the family disappeared and they went to another church where they say, we could be relaxed. We go to church and we're relaxed. By the way, it's okay to relax in church, but one of the purposes of coming to church is to be challenged to serve the Lord. Okay? Some of the best sermons I've ever heard, it de-relaxed me. It was like, you know, I was under such conviction. I'm like, man, I'm unrelaxed. I don't think that's a word, but I'm like, I'm stressed. But it caused me to make a decision. So they went to the relaxed church. And by the way, there's a lot of relaxed churches. And some of our people, if they, you know, don't want to, anyway, I won't go there. But, and they disappeared. And years later, Dr. Howes got a letter from this man. And this man in the letter said, he said, you probably don't remember me. I want to say it's probably 20 years. I can't remember. He said, you probably don't remember me. This is my name. And he said, I'm in state penitentiary. Whoa. But by the way, he did remember his name. And he went on to say, he went on to tell a story. He said, you know, we left the church. We went to the relaxed church. You know, we got too relaxed. And our walk with God got relaxed. And then our marriage began to get unrelaxed. And our family started going astray. And he said, one day, I was suspicious of my wife. And somehow he found his wife in a car, in a like a mall parking lot late at night with some other man. And he shot and killed both of them. And he says, I'm in prison for life. And he said this. He went on his letter and he said, let me tell you where I believe it all started. He said, I believe, this was not the pastor saying it, this was the guy in prison. He said, I believe it all started when I gave up my Sunday school class. Quit being involved in ministry. By the way, really where it all starts is when we give up our walk of God. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed.